Hey, what's up? You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Maxwell Maxwell, and I'm joined by my very good friend, Swaption.
Swaption.
A.K.A. Skippy Doodah. Or just Spencer. Whatever you like.
Is this hot?
This is hot, yeah. Are you... Oh, you mean the mic? Is the mic hot? Like, is the mic on?
I mean, is it, like, rolling?
Yeah, it's rolling. We're rolling. We're on the air. We're broadcasting live at 101.9 FM and online at www.citr.ca. You can really hear this chair, can't you? We're going to have some fun tonight. We are going to be joined at 9:30 by Edmund from the awesome band Hexes and O's from Montreal. They just played last night, and if you were having funs with a Zed last night at the Biltmore, them and Telefuzz were there, so that's cool. So we're going to be asking Edmund about a whole bunch of cool party questions and about how cool he is and his cool band. And we're basically just going to sit here and be really jealous because they're having a lot of fun. We're also going to be giving away tickets. I mean, not tickets. We're just going to be putting listeners on the guest list. Basically, I have unlimited guest list, and I'm just going to abuse the shit out of it. On Tuesday... you know, one of the reasons actually I brought Spencer in is because we are DJing. We're taking over the patio upstairs, the Republic.
It will never be the same.
It's never going to be the same.
No.
Not only have I bought purple flashing lights and a whole, like, a lot of tissue paper, pink and purple tissue paper is going everywhere, and I bought, like, 100 lollipops and Disney princess balloons and stuff. So it's like an 8-year-old girl birthday party theme. And we're going to be throwing down, like, hard electro and really weird cut-up top 40 all night. So, if anybody's listening and they feel like going partying, just give us a call at 604-822-2487, and we will put you on the guest list. You and a friend get in free before midnight, and you don't have to wait in line. You can also, of course, get in with your Shindig stamp, because that's the first night of Shindig.
Yeah, Shindig starting.
So, Shindig is going to wrap up probably around midnight. But get to the Republic before midnight, because you'll probably... Well, you don't get in if you're not there before midnight. You have to pay and wait in line like a peon. So, stop by Shindig. That's at the Railway Club at CITR's Battle of the Bands. That's at like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Actually, maybe it's a little... I think it's 8 o'clock, isn't it? Sorry, I'm really, really bad. I usually show up a little bit later.
Of course you do.
And there's... there's fun there. Awesome new bands. They're all kind of crazy. I think this one... I think Tuesday is actually... it's the first night, of course, and it's going to be this really weird band that I've been checking out because we've been listening to all the Shindig submissions. And this one, I forget what they're called, but it's like this goth cabaret spaghetti western cowboy act. So that should be really interesting. It's like a cowboy indie cowboy goth cowboy pop thing, which is going to be really cool. So let's see, what else? Basically, we're just going to have fun in studio. As I said, we're going to be joined by Edmund from Hexes and O's at around 9:30, so stick around for that. And call in anytime, 604-822-2487. We're going to be mixing live in studio. Ask for a song, and we'll probably try and throw it in there. I'm going to put on some new Final Fantasy while I screw around with my DJ setup. This is actually coming out in late September. It is a brand new piece from Owen Pallett, who's a hot piece. It's an EP called Spectrum 14th Century. And the song is called The Butcher. And basically, it's really rad. And if you haven't heard it, it's like a collaboration he did. And it's really cool. And then he's got another EP coming out in October. And you can get both of them from Blocks on vinyl. And that's at Blocks. Fuck. This chair is really irritating me. I guess it's a good thing that our funding drive is coming up, because we desperately need a new DJ chair in here. So you'll have an opportunity to donate $25 or whatever and get some prizes. And we're going to be doing a super cool thank you show as well. So, that's going to be your opportunity to party with us and to...
Lots of free stuff.
Well, they have to donate to get the free stuff, so it's not really like free, is it?
I mean,
free stuff for us.
They don't just get to donate; they get swag.
They get swag.
We had lots of leftover swag last year.
We're gonna get a lot of swag this year. It's gonna be awesome. And one of the swag is actually gonna be a chance to. We have a super secret band, so secret. We don't like Spencer and I don't even know what it is. But one of the prizes is gonna be a chance to show up early and hang out at Soundcheck with our cool CITR peeps.
Wow.
So the funding drive is coming up, and if you want to donate, that'd be cool. All right, let's get this show on the road, hey?
I'm ready for some music.
All right. Doomsday, the end of the century.
I'm sorry. All I do is party. smart. Ha, 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 ha. So bounce low, bounce low, bounce high, bounce high. All I do is fart.
CITR.
This is DJ Betty Ford here to tell you that your favorite Tuesday night DJs have moved to Republic. Join myself and Trevor Risk in the main room as we conduct a balls-out assault on the dance floor. Or get it on the patio to a rotating crew of selectors, including CITR DJs and other famous people. We'll be mashing the latest tracks with all your favorite classics. And we'll have those trademark drink specials and cheap cover that you've been loving all these years. Plus, you can bring in your friend of CITR card or CITR membership card for free cover for you and a guest before midnight. Only at Full Tilt Tuesdays at Republic, 958 Granville Street at Nelson. Full Tilt Tuesdays, manic weeknight hysteria from the original Tuesday Night Wrecking Crew.
Oh, did I mention, by the way, that Spencer here and me are totally playing that this Tuesday, and we're giving away a guest list to anybody who calls in 604-822-2487, because we're kind of cool like that. We're going to play, like, 4 more minutes of music, and we're about to have a phone-in interview with Edmund from Hexes and O's, which is a really rad band. Their CD is out now. It's Bedroom Madness, and we're going to play some tracks off that later, and we're going to be, like, really cool. So anyways, this is Swaption with me in studio, CITR's vice president, and basically really awesome. You want to play some beats for the ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, yeah, I got my beats going.
We got beats going. We're having fun. I'm having fun. Are you having fun? Call in, let me know. 604-822-2487. And remember, we will put you on the guest list for the CITR patio. So we are live on CITR. We're mixing a little bit, having some fun with got Swaption here in the studio with me. And we actually have on the line, we have Edmund from Hexes and O's. Let's just put him on. Blah, blah, blah. Can you hear me?
I can hear him, Axel.
Hey, what's going on? Okay, first of all, I have a list of questions. I'm being more professional because... Patrick Wolf was not impressed, so now I actually have questions written out ahead of time.
What did, What did you ask him or not ask him?
I asked him to write me a haiku for the... Because we put out this magazine, Discorder, which is, by the way, listeners, it's great. Go pick up a copy. It's everywhere. And he didn't know what a haiku was.
Really?
And so,
like,
yeah, most of the rest
of... the exact kind of number of syllables or, like...
He had no idea what it was.
Wow.
Yeah, so,
That's not good to reveal live on the air.
No. Well, it was a backstage interview. I was just like writing everything down.
Okay.
It was for the magazine, right?
All
so
right.
Basically, the rest of the interview was us talking about High School Musical, the Disney, you know, the Disney thing. And then he took my last Xanax. Anyways, so I have a thing of actual questions to ask you.
Great.
And we're all in for a treat because these are kind of incompetent. And I'm sure you have some fascinating things that we can hopefully get out of you anyways. So first of all, you like Heidi, right?
I like Heidi?
Yeah, you like her. You don't just like her. You like her, right?
Yeah, definitely. Ever since I was
in high school.
Yeah, in high school.
In high school. And if I might ask, I mean, I don't want to sound rude or anything, but how long ago was that?
I'm 29, so that was 13 years ago.
So the whole thing, like the band, and especially this new single you guys have, for which you have a great video, you just won some awards.
And, yeah, we did.
And there's an awesome picture on your website of you having just won this award, and you've sort of got this, like, kind of Boy Scout handkerchief on and a big pink shirt, and you're laughing like a maniac.
I was supposed to be getting, like, zapped by it, because it's like a magnet.
Oh, that's pretty good. I thought you were just, like... Just going, like, really crazy.
Being a maniac.
Yay.
That's me.
Cool. So there's definitely a big high school thing. Your new song, it's Ha 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 High School. Do you pronounce it high school or, like, Ha 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 High School?
That's been, like, the debate so far on with this new album. We just call it high school, but
high school.
That might be just, like, short form because it's kind of dumb to have to say Ha Ha High School every time we talk about it, right?
I guess so yeah.
I think for... Let's call it, officially it's Ha Ha High School, but, you know, like...
We can just call it high school.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So, you guys have been having some success lately. You know, you're on the vaunted CITR charts. And,
okay.
But now for Bedroom Madness, this is like your second album. And the first one was actual Bedroom Madness. Because you produced that yourselves, right? The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Well, it was actually done in a living room.
In a living room.
But... It was basically all done in our apartment. And actually, the live drums on that album, which are pretty minimal, but there are some on it, were done in my parents' basement. But, yeah, that one was all recorded on our own in our house.
And then for this one, though, you have the producer who also did the Crystal Method.
Yeah, like this time, well, I mean, we liked the first album, but it was, you know, very lo-fi, so we really wanted to... do something different. I think we like to keep moving forward, you know, or at least doing things that are different from album to album. So we wanted to try getting a bigger produced sound, you know. So
yeah, well, like this one sounds more expensive and lush, and it's easier for a DJ to throw on a dance floor. But did it like influence the creative process as well, having like more money to spend and more options in terms of like, oh, I want to put a Mellotron here, or or making a lot easier to do stuff. Like you mentioned, you had a lot of pre-recorded drums, like making it easier to have live drums on the new album instead of just, you know, basically in terms of time constraints, having to throw together a track in Reason. Do you guys use Reason? Is that what you use a lot of?
I've experimented with it, but I think I'm more of a, we do, despite the fact that we're electronic, we do come from a background of rock, you know,
mm-hmm.
so live instruments, and we use Ableton Live because it's a lot more intuitive.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're using on the air right now, actually.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The way I write, I just sit with an acoustic guitar with Ableton Live in front of me and just kind of do little things, you know? So for some people, I'm sure Reason is that intuitive, but for me, it's all based on hardware.
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of baffling.
Because you can see it in your new album, but you have this tool, which a lot of people who liked playing around with electronic music love. It's the MicroKorg.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever used the vocoder on that?
The last time we did a lot, actually. I had just bought that MicroKorg from a friend right before we started recording the album, so I was kind of obsessed with it and laid it on a whole bunch of stuff. And there's one particular song where I couldn't really get the vocals to sound the way I wanted them to.
So use the vocoder.
It was a little bit too high for me to sing, and so I just, like, vocoded most of it, and that's like the poor man's auto-tune, you know?
I guess so. But now you're not poor man anymore. Now you have famous producers. What do you think of the T-Pain sound? Or, I mean, older listeners might remember this as the Cher effect from Believe.
Yeah.
like, you know, it was Do You Believe in Life After Love? And now, like, rappers like T-Pain use it. Are you thinking about using that for your next album?
We debated using it for one song, and we kind of, like, we sat with the producer, and he was messing around with it, and I was like, I kind of like that, because I wanted that song to have, like, a mock kind of geeky R&B feel to it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Our version of R&B, but I really liked it, and he was like, yeah, I'll work on it, and then he sent us a mix, and he decided to take it out. So I'm like, well, okay, that's fine, but since then, since it's kind of been on my mind, I've noticed how often people use it as like a cheap gimmick to make something uninteresting sound good.
Or if they just can't sing at all.
Exactly. So I'm really glad that we opted not to use it.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. Oh, let's talk about your, I noticed this because basically, in order to do research, I Googled you. I just Googled the shit out of you and clicked a whole bunch of links. Which was pretty cool because, like, basically my only other exposure to you has been with, like, listening to your music and checking out your MySpace and stuff, which, by the way, is your MySpace?
Our address?
Yeah, if you want to just plug it for all the listeners out in La La Land.
Yeah, myspace.com/hexesandohs, like, all spelled out, HEXESANDOHS.
And if you Google hexes and O's, you can find it pretty quickly. Now, I always have the problem. I always think you guys are called X's and O's. And that's the name of a pretty successful lesbian sitcom, I think, out of California.
Really? So, I've never seen it.
Yeah. So if you Google X's and O's, you get sort of a lot of these – all of your results are like these chat rooms and people are like – speculating about like what Brandy's gonna do next on the show. And I was kind of like, huh. And then I was like, oh no, there's an H on there. So that's myspace.com/hexesandohs. So anyways, I'm Googling you and I find this iTunes the Chart Attack celebrity playlist.
Because
you know, I'm lazy and I'm like, wow, that will provide some easy content to entertain the listeners. So you put a song from the Pet Shop Boys album, Fundamental, on there, and that's actually one of their more recent works.
Yeah.
So do you think the Pet Shop Boys are A, lolzy, or just, like, ironic, B, still relevant, or C, actually doing better work these days?
I think I would opted for A before this last album, the Fundamental album, because, like, the last few was just kind of really...
cheesy.
Yeah, cheesy, like, you know, club, like, really Euro dance stuff, you know? And being a fan of their earlier stuff, I bought those albums hoping that they'd be
What's your favorite album? Is it Very?
Yeah. And I think the last one was pretty close, but I'm kind of lazy that way that the album that I listen to the most is their discography album, which is just all the hits, the early hits, which I... You know, I'm kind of a greatest hits kind of guy.
Yeah, which is kind of awesome. Let's see. So later on in the show, after we're done with our little interview, I'm going to play, not actually a song off of Fundamental, but I'm going to play Rufus Wainwright's live cover of Casanova in Hell, which is a really great song off of that album.
Yeah, I like that song.
And then you also have Black Ghosts, Any Way You Choose to Give It, so we're going to play the Boy 8-Bit remix of that. Oh, and you're a DJ, and you're from Montreal. And do you and Heidi think that Tiga is cute? Or does he walk down the street and everybody over there is like, give it a rest with Tiga everywhere?
I've actually never seen him anywhere, so...
Really? Is he like a local type person? Is he like, oh yeah, you guys come to my new concert, or come to my new club night or whatever? Or is he like, I'm just going to hide away in here and just roll around in my money?
I don't really know much about him, so I can't really say.
Okay.
Are you talking about me or Tiga?
You and Heidi. I'm talking about
Heidi.
Tiga. What you guys think of Tiga?
Oh, I don't really know of anything of him, so can't really say.
Because, like, I think Michael Bublé lives here. He's sort of the only famous Vancouver,
oh,
right?
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes. In terms of Vancouverites, there's basically like Michael Bublé, and then there's Nardwar the Human Serviette. And Nardwar the Human Serviette has a show on CITR, and he's, of course, a colleague of mine, so I can't say anything terrible about him. But Michael Bublé, like, never goes to anything local, and his music is horrible anyways.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes with a lot of kind of some of the bigger Montreal acts.
Yeah.
I don't want to badmouth anybody, but I mean, you know, Stars and Steels and stuff, they don't support the shows. I find it hard to believe that they actually live in Montreal because I've never, ever seen them anyway. My brother knows Sam Roberts pretty well, so I know he's, like, you know, local. And I've seen guys from the Steels once in a while, but, you know, people don't usually have necessarily great things to say about them.
That's kind of sad. I'm originally from California, as all my listeners know, and I lived in Berkeley. And the weird thing was, even if AFI is really cool to hate, you would always see AFI, like, hanging out at local shows and stuff, even when they were making, like, a zillion dollars.
Yeah, I guess that's the kind of the positive thing about emo and punk rock and stuff. They're pretty supportive.
Have you had, like, a supportive experience with the local scene, even if they are, like, snobby indie kids? Because everybody who listens to, like, the music that you and I kind of like are kind of snobby, right?
Well, yes and no. I think Montreal is kind of, you know, we're very trendy and hip, I guess, or everybody likes to believe they are.
So is
but
it...
at the same time, it's even more hip to hate the things that are hip, right?
Yeah, so I guess so.
There's definitely, like, a general kind of, like, disdain for, like, regular indie, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Pop indie, and people generally kind of are more openly passionate about noise and kind of more experimental stuff, more stuff that's on Fringe, you know, and no, it's like not very cool to brag that you went to a Death Cab for Cutie show or something, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, conversely, is it like if you guys play a show, because you have such fun music, and you guys, we'll talk a little bit about your live show in a second. We're wrapping up the interview, but I do want to touch on your live show. But when you do have your show and you're sort of giving it your all and you're rocking out and it's, you know, thump a thump a la 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 la, are people just like smoking cigarettes and standing there and being like, hey?
We can't smoke in bars anymore, but there's definitely, like, I think when we play to audiences that are, like, there's the show where, like, you play to other musicians, you know? It's
yeah.
Like a lot of the people who go to shows are there not necessarily to enjoy the show, but to kind of, like, do research for their own music. Like, I would say, like, 75% of showgoers in Montreal are musicians themselves.
Really?
So it's kind of like a study, you know? You go there, people are just there to judge you. And so, you know, you play to appreciate people, but they're not necessarily, like, you know, very kind of openly enthusiastic music lovers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's certain shows we play that when we open for Maids of State, for example, it's like a room full of people who probably don't go to three shows a week, you know, but they love
yeah.
music and they show it. So it's kind of, there's two different types of crowds in Montreal, for sure.
I guess so. So you're also a DJ, though, right? Can you tell me about some club anthems for winter 08-09? Who's coming up right now that you want to play as a DJ? And how do people get away from just, like, chain-smoking Parisians who go, no.
Well, I think a lot of people are playing some very similar things. Like, my chart playlist there is pretty much the thing that I'm really into right now. The Black Ghost album is really amazing, I think.
Yeah.
What else? I'm kind of always stumped when I'm put on the spot. yeah, there's the typical staples, like, you know, like Justice and Simon Law of Disco. There's, like, one Island song that, even though the album is not particularly dancey, there's a song called Creeper.
Yeah, you can sort of, like, throw it down and people will maybe get into it.
Yeah,
or at least they would get into it if they weren't too busy smoking and looking cool. Or I guess you can't smoke anywhere anymore, so I don't know, maybe they're just chewing nicotine gum and looking cool.
Well, people would mostly spend their time outside, actually, loitering and, you know, getting places shut down and neighbor complaints and whatnot. That's a new phenomenon in Montreal right now.
Like, oh, that's lame.
Noise complaints from people hanging out outside.
That's really kind of lame. So you guys, speaking of places getting shut down, you guys played the Biltmore Cabaret last night, and that was actually recently closed down. There was a whole bunch of drama, and now it's reopened. It was basically the city was being a bunch of jerks. We're having kind of a problem in Vancouver with the fun police coming in, and the government is like, Yeah, we want to make sure that all the entertainment area is, like, in about the three-block region, and we want to, you know, just make sure that, like, we can just, like, keep that area going. And everything else has to close at, like, midnight.
Yeah, we were walking around the Biltmore Cabaret last night.
Did you notice, like, dead, like, outside?
Yeah, it was completely dead. We were like, I guess it is a little bit outside of downtown, but we still expect it. You know, because people were out, but everything was closed.
Yeah.
We were just looking for pizza and cigarettes. And
no, not going to happen in Vancouver. Bedtime police say no. No.
And we were smoking outside once, actually, and I made a point of reading the sign that said you have to be 6 meters away from the door to smoke or something.
Oh, yeah, that's new.
And a cop pulled up, and I was like, uh-oh, he's going to give us some loitering ticket or something. And he actually stopped to ask us about some domestic disturbance going on at the corner, so...
Oh, that's
all right.
Yeah, that's okay. Hooray for domestic disturbances. Okay,
yeah.
So going back, can we talk about your live show? How has it progressed? What's your live setup like? So you do some pre-recording, or is it just like looping? Is it like looping or just like pre-recorded tracks? Or you mentioned you use Ableton. What sort of goes into putting together a performance?
We're starting to use this program called Traktor, which is basically a DJ software.
Oh yeah, I've used Traktor before. For the listeners, what Traktor basically is it replicates turntables. It basically you just take your MP3s and you put it in there, and you can do things like loop them. That's what Ableton does. I'm sorry if anybody's listening, you can call in later and I'll happily explain. So basically you have Traktor going, and then you just have backing tracks, and then you rock it.
Yeah, we have, we prefer to focus our energy on doing things that are like rock live instruments, you know, rather than like sitting behind the screen and doing a lot, but I mean people are still equally not entertained. So we just run like Traktor so we can loop certain parts and have jams and things. We play guitar, bass and drums.
So you usually play guitar and sing, and then Heidi plays bass, but she also has a keyboard in front of her and a laptop, and then you also sometimes get on the drums.
Yeah, and then we sometimes kind of run loops, and I have a loop pedal on my guitar, and we'll run loops and kind of build up a thing. Like, I'll go on the drums and kind of pound it home.
Oh, that's cool. So you can sort of just, like, put down things and then just keep it going and then run around and play something else.
Yeah,
that sounds
exactly.
Like a lot of fun.
It is fun.
Well, apparently your live show is awesome. I'm sorry I missed it, but I heard it was really killer. That was with Telefuzz last night, right?
Yeah, we did.
And your album is out right now. What's the record label?
On Noise Factory.
Okay, so you can pick that up from Scratch, Zulu, Red Cat, pretty much anywhere local they have it. You can probably order it online. The website is hexesandos.ca. And your MySpace is myspace.com/hexesandos?
That's correct.
All right, awesome. So thank you so much for calling in. Have an awesome night. Where are you playing next?
We're playing in Edmonton next. That's on Tuesday.
Oh, where are you playing in Edmonton?
In Wonder Bar, at Wonder Bar.
Wow, that sounds pretty wonderful. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, Edmund from Hexes and O's. Any last words for us?
Well, thanks for having me, and it was nice talking to you. Vancouver's, despite things not being open at night, I think. Oh, we had sushi, by the way.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was awesome.
Where'd you go for sushi?
It was a place near the Biltmore Cabaret. It was on Broadway. I forgot what it was called, but people were just saying, just go to anyone. Most of them are good, and it was good.
Yeah, they're all pretty good.
The biggest pieces of sashimi I've ever had. It was almost too big.
Yeah. Awesome.
So that's what I have to say about Vancouver.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Edmund. We're going to play some music. This is Any Way You Choose to Give It, and then we're going to play a couple tracks off of your awesome new album, Bedroom Madness, available now at your finer local music store, whatevs. All right, bye.
Bye.
You can't. know me a debt, know me a debt. No for them a worry, no for them a worry. Some of them a fret, some of them a fret. Dibby-dibby-dj, you know me a debt, know me a debt. No for them a worry, no for them a worry. Some of them a fret, some of them a fret. Me got this stuff.